started a teaching on, I didn't give it a name, but it's more or less the meaning of life, right? Let's go to Matthew 7. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us here. Thank you for all that you are doing in our midst. We give you praise. Give you praise. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, speak to us like never before. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so Matthew 7. You know, let me just say something about, I think I've said it before, but you might ignore it. It's a very easy thing to ignore, you know, especially as you grow or as you engage Christianity or life. You see, one of the you know, some of you now, you know, during the workers' meeting, I was saying one or two things. You know, some of you now might be shocked and saying that, oh, you're telling me to go and preach. You know, I'm not a fantastic preacher. I don't know how to talk and mix and match words and, you know, do that. But you see, one of the things you need to understand about the gospel is that it's a spiritual communication. And the actual wavelength is spiritual. It's not verbal. Are we together? Right? It's absurd to be under pressure to preach or to teach the Bible. It's very absurd. It's not, God did not call anybody to be a skilled preacher. Are we together? It's not needed. Again. There are people that, when they preach, people are sleeping. God likes it that way. It's not giving them fire for, you know. And the reason why, there's a reason why, which is what I'm going to, because the communication is spiritual. You get. For instance, if your parents maybe go to a Methodist church or CAC. Does anybody's parents go to CAC? Yeah? Your parents go to CAC. Okay. Anyone Methodist? Methodist. Okay. Now, if you are to go to a CAC church now, I don't know how a CAC church is, but, you know, many of you would feel like killing yourself. You know, especially by the time it is entering fourth hour. You know, how many hours is your service? Three. Can you imagine? 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's 7 hours. Right? Now, is it by hour four? You start pressing phone, that kind of thing. Now, you see, that thing now, to you, it might seem like it's the most boring thing you have heard. But, you see, to your parents, it's not sounding that way. Are you with me? Right. The communication is spiritual, and to the people that were sent to a particular generation, they are communicating life to them. You get my point? So it's not that thing that you are seeing there, 7 hour service, you know. If you know how that thing held this country and is still holding this country till now, that's CAC Church. Do you get what I'm saying? All right. The major reason why we are here today is because of what God did through CAC. Once upon a time, that you are a Christian is death sentence. You get my point? All right. So, you can't judge spiritual communication via the, I don't use the big ones, I want to say verbiage. You can't judge it via the English that's been spoken. It's via the spirit that has been communicated. And you only tap into that wavelength, when you hear it a certain way, there's a certain way to hear spiritual communication. Are we together? I don't know what was here last week. I gave the example of some people that were not with the disciples. Can we look for that scripture where they wanted to stop some people from preaching? And Jesus said, don't stop them. If they're not against us, they're for us. You know? Some people wanted to stop. Do you know what I'm talking about? Habakkuk. Let someone go and help him, please, because you know, let's not assume. Now, some people were not with Jesus. Jesus had his core crew, you know, disciples, right? Now, some people were not with Jesus and were producing results that were making the disciples envious. You get my point, right? So what does that mean? That means that when Jesus was having his teaching meeting, the disciples, you know, is like pastors who stay here, HODs, they're usually the ones. Someone at that corner was speaking something more than the people at the front. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't accepted. That's how it would play out. And the person was speaking that thing, and the person went to go and start replicating on his own. He didn't even ask Jesus for permission. He just went and started doing his own thing. Yet, and the disciples were envious. Again, because they assume that because we are close, we are the ones that have it. No. You understand? It's the people that are listening that have it. You get it? All right? So, there is a way to listen to the gospel where you open your heart and you see it as the words of life. Huh? You can see it many ways. For instance, you can see the preaching of the gospel as human wisdom to make your life better. Are we together? Huh? You know, there are principles in the Bible that even if I teach you, even if you're not born again, it will organize your life. You get my point? All right. You can also hear the word of God as, this one is the worst. When you are a completely unserious person, you hear the word as powerful preaching. You know, power, kai, it's a gift. Kai, things are happening in the body of Christ. Hey, God. You see, when you've been around for a while, you will understand that majority. Now, Jesus answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbid him because he does not follow with us. Do you understand? Now, this is not true. He's a follower of Jesus. He's just not a visible follower of Jesus. You can't cast out demons if you're not following Jesus. Where did he get the power from? You get my point? It's just that when they are doing the meeting, he's not sitting at the front. You understand my point? So they don't know him. You know? And we forbid him because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. So Jesus said, he's not against us. He's on our side. You know? Do you understand what Jesus was saying? Cool. So I was saying that if you've been around for a while, one of the things you would notice is that, sadly, the majority of people that comment on preaching are completely unserious people. Huh? This last one I just said is the most unfortunate one. That's the one where the bulk of the people are. Yes. It's not meant to be like that all the time, but it's just the way it is. Okay, you have Christian, you know, you have the Christian version of fans. If you get what I'm saying. Same way Wizkid has fans, Davido has fans. Same way men of God will have their fans. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'm trying to save you from nonsense. You get, all right? Men of God to have their fans. some people approach man of Godism from celebrity, as per this is, I'm a fan of this person. You get my point, all right? And when you are too captured by gifts, and when you are too captured by preaching, that is all you will have. You will have powerful preaching. You will have powerful insights, you know, into, in fact, you can even be so captured by it that you can judge who preached well and who did not preach well, you know. You can say, that man, his delivery was good, but his intro was wrong. You know, he didn't start well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, some of you do it now. Maybe if I call somebody to come and preach now, you say, you know, she tried, but that's last point. If she has said this one, you know, it will have linked. You know? It's, you know, those two scriptures, they didn't link well. Before you do John 2 that will link it, then, you know, the thing will set, you know. Revelation, power, you know. Now, many people, it's not their fault. It's just that it's a human nature thing. You know, it's not their fault. It's just that, you know, people misinterpret that kind of thing as spirituality, you know. That's how human beings are. Human beings like talking, not doing. Human beings prefer to talk. You know. But that's not going to be your portion. That's not going to be your portion. I'm trying my best to make it not your portion. I'm really trying my best. That's why I consciously, I don't know, you know, and I must say, I have to thank God, you know, for giving me this opportunity to serve you guys, because it has really changed my life, you know. Because of the audience, I've had to particularly remove every extra in my communication. Remove every extra and just rely on prayer. You know, once I pray and God tells me what to say, I just go and say it plainly. And that's how, you know. Because I don't want you to, like Paul, I don't want you to begin to see, I don't want you to begin to have the expectation of deep revelation. I think it's a very terrible spirit. You don't want to be close to that spirit at all. You don't want it. Because true change and transformation can only happen when the heart receives the word in meekness. Are we together? If you're with me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
True change and transformation can only happen when the word is received with meekness. This is how they receive the word of God. Everybody, look at me. Whether you are doing it, everybody, please look at me. Look at me. Whether you are doing it physically or not, this is how you must receive the word of God in your heart. Are we together? That must be your heart posture. Meaning you must be ready to receive the words of life. You know? That's the only way it can disturb you at night. You get? Powerful preaching does not change people. Are we together? You can hear most of the Christians, well, I don't know if you interact with people like that, but most of the Christians I know, a lot of Christians I know, like I said, I've been around, so I'm talking from experience. I see Christians that you listen to maybe 5 preachers, all the preachers in town, you know them, but you watch Game of Thrones. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, you see, you can deceive yourself and say that, Kai, see word. The true state of your soul, if you're watching Game of Thrones, is that you are a lustful person. Meaning lust has fool in you. And yet. Are we together? So all that what I'm saying in essence is that I've seen it in my life too. God has helped me. And I see it, you know, with people I interact that you can just surround yourself with Christianese. And actually you are not changing. You get. So I'll say again, that's not your portion. In Jesus' name. That's not your portion. So you need, there's a way you will hear the word of God that it will disturb you. You understand? The word itself will disturb you. That's why you don't stress to change people. It's painful. I wish I can just open your head, put it in inside and close it back. But that's not how the thing works. You understand? That's not how the thing works. We just have to keep on praying. Amen. So when you pray, you don't need to pressure yourself to. I'm saying it now, but you need it in the future. Maybe soon, maybe not soon. But you know, indeed, you don't need to pressure yourself to be anything to anyone, you know. You just need to speak what God is telling you to say. Of course, you will fast and pray so that the word will carry power, but yes, even just watch TV and just in that church, I'm going to say what God says. You understand, right? You know? All right, so let's go into today's word. You know? I want to talk about the way of the cross. Now, in Matthew 7, last 2 weeks, or is it 2 weeks or 3 weeks? I don't know. We're talking about how Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. We're talking about how many people will come to Jesus on that day and say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. Can you guys remember? Yeah. Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick in your name. I did so many great things for you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Can I just say this thing? Let me just say something. If God cannot tell you to not watch a TV program, you need to weep. You don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. Huh? I need to get down on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry for being rebellious. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So not everyone that comes to see me say, Lord, Lord. 22. Many will say to me in that day, and you know, we highlighted this many, and we say that, you know, it's very scary, you know, if I just say many, you know, may God help us, you know, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Huh? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In KJV, it says iniquity. Huh? Iniquity is lawlessness. You see, when... what does it mean to be lawless? To be lawless just means that you are not under the governance of the Holy Spirit. Hmm? That's what it means. The Holy Spirit is meant to be governing your life. You know what it means to be in governance? Like now in Lagos State is under the governance of APC or under the governance of Sanwo-Olu, right? or under the governance of the laws of the state. The government has set laws, and the government has said that a particular road is one way. You shouldn't drive on that road. You understand my point, all right? But that's to regulate your life. You don't complain and say, why is this road one way? Why is this road one way? This is the shorter route. You know, you're not meant to do that. If they catch you, you'll pay fine, or they will seize your car. You understand my point, all right? Now, when the Holy Spirit cannot control you like that, you are a lawless person. Are we together? Yes, even though you have a relationship with God, as per you are born again. Now, the nature of this thing is that if you are lawless, the way Jesus will reject you, you'll be shocked. Because you will think that, let me explain what I mean. You see, they will deceive you as per these people now. The reason why they could say Lord, Lord is that when they come to church and worship, they'll flow in the spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? As per, they still have a feeling. They didn't stop speaking in tongues. You get my point? They didn't stop prophesying. To prophesy, you need the Spirit of God. It's an active spiritual process. The Spirit will give you signal, tell you what to say. You get my point, right? So they were still actively involved with God. But the way Jesus denied them, man, you would think that they're armed robbers. He just said, I never knew you. Not like I knew you, then you changed my mind. From day one, at this one, I don't know this person. You get? Are we together? That's the implication of lawlessness. When you're not under the governance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should govern your life. Amen. And so we're talking about how we cannot... time has gone now. We're talking about how we cannot... We have to desire to see things the way God sees. Abi? Because God's perspective is different from man's perspective. You get? God's perspective is different from man's perspective. And so when it comes to judgment, when it comes to how God assesses people, he's not using earthly parameters. He's not using earthly measurements. You get my point? That's why God can make two people... Someone asked the question one day in church and said, what do we do to people that come to church with body odor? What do we do to people? Who can answer that question? What do we do to people in church that come with body odor? What do you think we should do? Are there people in this church that, you don't need to call them, but are there people that as you pass them, you smell something? Someone say yes. Favor, yes. Okay. What do we do to such people? What do we do to solve that problem? Do you have an idea? Does anybody have an idea? Okay. Sorry, let's give him the mic.
So I think we, I think you can give that person a deodorant or something. Kind of pass the information.
In a subtle way.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I think you should just call the person. You can, there's a way to talk to somebody. You don't have to come directly. Then you can suggest ways of reducing the odor. Before buying the deodorant and the rest of them.
Okay. Do we agree with her? You agree with her? Do you disagree with her? You don't know which one. You're in the middle. Give him the mic.
Okay, so it's actually hard to communicate to the person nicely without sounding insulting
in a
way. Because I don't know, if I come to meet somebody now, no matter how nice I sound, how he or she would translate it in his head is that I'm kind of like insulting, but do not say it.
It's hard. Okay. No, you've already spoken. It's okay. You've spoken.
So, I've tried a method, what you said, and it actually helped. So, after talking to the person, I approached the person and I told her, I actually asked that, what's up, is your deodorant finished or something like that? And then she was like, no, that she doesn't have. I was like, okay, how about you go to the bathroom and just check if there's something that you can use. So the first time she tried, then the second time I noticed the same thing. So I called her to the bathroom myself and I gave her my own to use.
Yeah.
So since then, I've not really been perceiving stuff like that around her. I noticed that maybe she has probably been more careful.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay. Victoria wanted to say something. Why did you say the same thing? Okay. Give Victoria.
Maybe they can be like a general question on how someone can be taken. So maybe they can be a general teaching on how someone can take care of themselves. So maybe the person is there, like
the person here. So me, instead of teaching this thing, I'll come and teach. Which is factual. I mean, you can take. We've done that last year. You know. Now you people are giving good story, good ending. You know. What about the person that you will tell and the person will not change? Have you met someone like that before? Like, buy deodorant. The person will put the deodorant, but the odor will overpower. You know, there are people like that. And the person is coming to church. You know. Now, do you know that it's the will of God that you can be smelling that thing for the next 2 years? You will smell it in peace. Do you understand? In fact, do you know that not only will you be smelling that thing, God cannot tell you, you know, I want you to invite this person to your glory home. All right? And you did prayer, and every prayer you'll be smelling it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I was saying that to say that God doesn't judge the way men judge. You get? Right? Now, the way men judge, every man would want to maintain their distance. Abina, stylishly or unstylishly, the person just entered the room, everybody just stylishly, just, you know. But God can be looking at that person, and in that person's dream, when God will appear, God will say, my powerful prophet, you are the prophet to the nations, I'm sending you, keep on going. Do we get? Why? Because God is looking at something else in the person. And so when the person raised the question, I was like, you know, what do we do about people that are smelling? And, you know, part of the answer is what Favour said, that, you know, if you have the opportunity on a one-on-one and you are close to the person, you can, it will help. But then there's nothing to do. That's also an option. You do nothing. You will smell it. Why can't you smell body odor? Why can't you have a friend that has body odor? Why? Who are you? The Jesus that saved, isn't the same Jesus that saved the person? Do you understand my point? You get my point? Right? You smell it. You understand? Why can't you smell it? You smell it. In fact, you can't even, it's just your mind playing tricks on you. If you are determined, you can even go there and say, yes, you can. You won't die. You won't die now. Will you die? You won't die. You get? You can smell it. You understand? In fact, you can even call the person and say, my good friend, come, let's work together. Yes. Yes. You can tell the person once. The person does not want to change the dirty boxers. He will keep on relating with the person until the person is touched by the Holy Spirit. Are we together? So, many people, for instance, now will not know that in that kind of situation, God is looking at it and saying, how are these, maybe God wants to judge somebody in that situation. Now, God will look at the person and say, someone can come now and say, I want to keep the sanctity of the house of God intact. But that person is offending the Spirit of God because of a desire to keep the house pure and clean. Are we together? Or somebody comes with Hausa perfume. You know this Hausa perfume now. I see everything. You know? You smell it. You will. Oh, you're smelling good and beautiful, you know? Yes. So, the way God judges is different from how men judge. We are fundamentally opposed to God naturally. God has to retrain us to think like Him. Are we together? We are so opposed that to us, the process, which is why I want to talk about the way of the cross, the process of thinking like Him must be painful. It can't be easy. Because it is not your natural proclivity. You are not naturally wired to think that way. You get my point? Someone should tell you now that, you know, God wants you to move to Anambra State. You can start crying. You know? Now, why will you cry? All your life, you wanted to be in Lagos. If you are moving, you let them move you to Canada. Now is a better moving. Abina, let them move you to UK. Abina. Now, the reason why you are crying is because you are offensive. You see, that cry is offending God. You get my point? Because what you are telling God is that God does not love you. You understand? You are telling God that what you have chosen for me is bad. I can choose better for myself. You understand? Right? But thank God he understands this thing, so he doesn't strike us down with leprosy. So the point is that we are so fundamentally opposed to God. It's natural. It's not. Nobody is there yet like that. You know, everybody is learning the thing day by day. Are we together? Everybody is learning the thing day by day. All right? And so we need to retrain ourselves because what is appearing to us as discomfort might not necessarily really be discomfort. It might just be carnality. You get? Like prayer. Prayer is not painful. You get? And I think that God has given us as a community that breakthrough. We don't see prayer as painful. If I say let's pray now, nobody will be feeling sad. Prayer. You get? Right? Well, you can imagine maybe when you were not yet born again, or when you were born again, but the born again was not really born again like that, you know. If they say, let's go for prayer meeting. Ha! Or if you go to redeem, I pray, say, oh, it's time to go to camp. You know, you'll be wishing, this Friday, let them just forget. You know, it's first Friday, let them just forget. You know? Or convention. I remember back then, you know, my dad carried us for the whole convention. Bah, is it only us? It is, you know. You'll be dreading the thing. You know. You'll be like, Kai. You understand what I'm talking about? Kai, I'm going to that place. You know, you'll not be sitting down. You know, back, I don't know if these chairs are better now, but wooden chair, you'll not be sitting at the back. Oh. But now, if you go to camp, at least you will understand a lot better what they are doing there. You get, right? So, a lot of the things that we see are not comfortable. It's actually not that it's not comfortable. It's just that our nature is carnal. You get? We have a very strong will. You understand what I'm saying? We have a very strong will. Part of the signs that, you know, your will is too strong is if your phone should fall down inside water and start crying. Are we together? That's how you know your will is still strong. That's a bit hard. I know it's a bit hard. I know it's a bit hard, but I need to say it. You know, that's how you know your will is still strong. You know, meaning when things can, when you can't let go of things, you get. That's why you know your will is still very strong. So, if we live life based on our will, we would naturally offend God. You get, and then when we meet him, we'll be shocked at the response we get. Because you see, in our lives, we expect that we are doing it the right way. You get my point, right? So, we're also talking about how, you know, God doesn't judge people based on public opinion and sentiment. You know, this is just a recap I'm doing. I've never entered into the teaching. No, God doesn't judge us based on public opinion and sentiments, you know. Nobody knows who is in, if you know that someone is in heaven, be happy. Yet, if you know, like, it's not my uncle that died, we're not really sure. You know, just hold your peace. Again, don't go and say rest in peace. It's not rest, just hold your peace. Just say, well, we hope that, you never know, maybe last minute, you know. But from the man's lifestyle, it doesn't seem like, you know. I remember that day, you know, as the man just died, you know. I was just talking to me and Pastor, we just caught ourselves outside. We just sit at the same time. You know, that man is like, that man was not really, you know. I just said, well, when we get to heaven, we'll find out, you know. If he's among us, we know that he's here. If he's not among us, there's nothing we can do. You understand? And there's no point in crying about it. Because if I cry now, God won't see my tear and say, oh, never come back, say, let's transfer you to heaven. You know, that's not how the thing works. You understand? Right? So, if a man should waste his life, all of us on earth can be weeping and crying. You understand? It doesn't matter. You understand? When a man dies, it's him and God. For good or bad, whichever one you take it like that. You understand? Right? God won't look at all of us. God never takes decision via committee. Please understand this thing. That when you are dealing with God, God's will is absolute. It's not, God does not take opinions or suggestions from people. When you want to deal with God, that's the basic understanding you need to have. If not, you will have issues with God. They will just not talk to you. It's the Holy Spirit that you'll be interfacing with. Are we together? But if God is coming on the scene, is that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's his will. There's nothing, it's alignment to will that God is coming to do. You get? Holy Spirit can be comforting you, you know, oh, Jesus, I love you. You know, you can be telling us on the Holy Spirit, but if it's God, which is actually, and the person that is actually meant to train you for God is the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm talking about the governance of the Spirit. You're actually meant to be trained by the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing this thing? So, it's not by committee, right? And God does not respect men. God finds mankind offensive. your natural brain, tap Kingsley, your natural brain is going to offend God. You get. Let me just say this thing because some of us are ladies. That's why you need to kill naivety in your mind. God doesn't respect it. Maybe you do something wrong, you will not say, but my heart was pure. You know, many of us use that thing as excuse. You do something wrong, they correct you, but you say, but my heart was pure. It's a rubbish excuse. Learn your mistake and be doing the right things. You get my point? Don't hide on my heart is pure. You understand? It's not needed. Do the right things. That's what God wants. God wants you to understand the Bible, understand the word, understand how to walk with the Spirit so that you can be mature and know the right things to do. You get my point? Because a lot of time, all those my heart is pure, your heart is not really pure. You are deceiving yourself. There's a guy in my office, he started talking one nonsense talk. He said, all these girls of nowadays, they're too loose. And I said, what happened? He said, there's this girl, I just said, let's come for prayer meeting at my house. And the girl started telling me that she likes me. Is that how girls are? I said, you are a liar and thief. You know what you are doing. You get my point? He's back in the day, I started giving him, some other people that didn't know all these things, one is like giving him counsel, but we girls, you have to talk like that. I said, no, this guy is a thief. He's deceiving himself. You understand? He knows what he's doing. He's purposely leading women on. But then if you attack him, he will say, he's just, I didn't know, my heart is pure. It's prayer meeting. You get? Huh? And God that sees the heart will punish him if it doesn't change. You get my point? Because God sees God is not moved by external, my heart is pure. You get? Have you not, every woman that snatch husband, she always says, but we were just friends. That's when they attack her, she will say, we were just friends. But one thing led to another. Is that what they always say? That's what they always say. It's a lie. You understand? Everybody knows what they are doing. Hallelujah. So, lots of times, all those things and techniques are just ways that we deceive ourselves. It's darkness. That's what it means to be dark. But we need to live life in such a way. There is a way that, the point of this teaching is to explain that there is a foolproof way. There is a way that you will be guaranteed that you are in alignment with God. Are we together? There is a way you will live your life that it is guaranteed that you are in alignment with God. There is a way you will live your life that it is guaranteed that God is happy with you. Right, so what I'm saying, I'm not necessarily teaching the earlier things that I said so that we would think that, life is not like, God, am I really doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing? That's not really how life is, right? God has already created a way or a plan. Are we together? God has created an established pathway that if we follow, we are good. You get, right? Even yourself, you will know I'm good. You understand? Now, before I explain that, let me explain something. Let's go to Jeremiah 1. I spoke a little bit about this during the workers' meeting, but I just want to bring out something. I'll just quickly explain. Wherever we end. Jeremiah 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Stop here. So, God introduced a very simple but profound concept to Jeremiah that I'm calling you now. You see, when we say calling, it's not really a new thing. It's just a bringing forth of an already settled matter. Are we together? All right. Now, if the way we talk about calling, or just the normal way we talk about calling, is that I will say now that maybe I was Jeremiah. I will say that God called me in the year 1905. Do you get my point? All right. Meaning, it's the year 1992 that I started doing ministry. You get my point, right? But that's from Jeremiah's perspective, as at the time he got the information, right? But from God's perspective, that's 1992, when he appeared to him and told him, is just a calling forth, or is just like an establishment of what has already been decided. Do we understand my point? Meaning, in God's mind, that was not the first time, or that was not the first time that information was released. We get the information was not just released, the information was already settled. Meaning that, as God says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. Do you get my point? So, in the mind of God, God has already finished this matter. This matter is not, remember I said that God's will is certain. There's nothing, you are not creative around God's will. You get my point, right? Jesus, for instance, was not a creative life. His life was written. And Jesus did everything according to the script that was given to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? When Jesus Christ chose 12 disciples, Jesus Christ did not creatively think and say, who can be a disciple? Do you understand my point? Right? Those people were already chosen by God. They've written the script, finished the movie. They said, oh yeah, go and act it. So Jesus' life was not a creative life. Jesus was not doing new things. You get my point, right? And so it's the same concept that is happening here, right? That before Jeremiah, before this information came, before Jeremiah had his experience, the script, beginning of the script, middle of the script, ending, the story has already finished. There's no new story that is being added. They are just now informing him that it is your time now to start playing now this script. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right. Now, this is not just for... Are you sure you understand? Does anybody have any questions on what I've just said? Okay. So, there's someone that doesn't understand, but I'll move on. So, this script is not just for Jeremiah. It's also the way our lives are. It is sense that what we call, and you know, why I'm teaching this thing is also to demystify that thing called purpose and destiny. What we call purpose and destiny is not a creative thing. That's why you don't need to stress yourself and say, what's my purpose? It's not a stressful thing. Is there is a script that they've already written. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Right? You know that it was my purpose. Why am I here on earth? You know, it's troubling everybody. You don't need to trouble yourself. You just need to go and get the script and act out the script. That's all. Because your life is not creative in that sense. You're not doing trial and error. Are we together? So, same way with Jeremiah, it's the same thing for us, that when we were still with God as per in his mind, there's already an idea. There's already a settled matter, right? It has been ordained, it has been settled, right? And then the point is that we just need to live out that script. Praise God. Let's look at verse 6. Because of that, let's not look at this. But let me speak a little bit about this. Go to verse 6. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. NKJV says youth. It's actually youth, it's not child. It's language translation issues. But the Lord said to me, do not, verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. So when God, this thing will take me one route that I don't want to go to. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Verse 8. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. This thing is the only thing you need to know about preaching. Are we together? Don't be afraid of their faces. You get my point? Right? That's the only thing. And there's the reason you, for I'm with you. Now, you see, the ministry of Jeremiah was a very dangerous ministry, because Jeremiah was not a prophet that will be telling you good news. If you read the entire book, it was woe to Israel. It was that kind of prophet, right? So he's prophesying to kings that don't like what he's saying. You get, right? And, you know, king is not president. You know, king is different from democratic, as per king can do anything to you. So God had to let him know the secret of preaching. Don't look at their face. You understand? Right? That's the secret of preaching. Don't send anybody's face. The way you people are like this, I'm not sending your face. Whether you are frowning, you know, you don't know, because I'm the one that is talking, but some of you, your face is not encouraging. Are you with me? You know? Your face, that's the challenge. You know, if I tell you now, come and talk now, when you come here, the first thing we notice is that people are looking at you. Right? And they are not smiling. So they are not encouraging you. I get. Then the atmosphere will now feel dry. You know? You now feel like saying something. I get. But if you want to preach, don't look at anybody's face. Well, look at them, but what I mean, don't send their face, you know. They can be frowning. Yes, people can frown. Why not? Of course now, why not? When we start doing some things, you think everybody will be happy at the preaching. Preaching has two results, though. Preaching God's word. People can be happy. People can be angry. People can want to stone you. Yes. I don't think it's everybody you preach to that the feedback will be positive. Yet. Because people have demons. And people like their demons. Yet. First now. You think it's everybody you will preach, don't be gay, I will smile at you? Now people will give you face. There's somebody I invited to church. I invited the person to church. Pizza calls many years ago. The person frowned face throughout the preaching. You get? frown face. You understand? And left. It's part of the way you get, right? So this is the secret to preaching. Don't send anybody's face. Say after me, I'm not sending anybody's face. I'm preaching what God said I should preach. Yeah. That's the only thing. It's not about delivery. It's not about style and technique. You get. If you can overcome people's faith, you are a powerful preacher. There's nothing. Yeah. Even the people that you think are powerful preachers, some of them are afraid of their members. This is a teen church, so nobody has money here. But I'm telling you that there are churches where people have money and people are scared of preaching a message that will offend the richest person in the church. Yeah. Yeah. You get it? So, don't be afraid of their faces. That was just a detour. Now, when we look at the life of Jesus, right, one of the things that we see about Jesus' life also is that Jesus was given this script by God. Abby, we understand that now. I mean, Jesus' life was so detailed, and that's why you need to be comfortable with situations out of your control. Are we together? Huh? You need to be comfortable when there are situations outside of your control. You get, right? One of your parents, for instance, was complaining about one of you. And, you know, I said that, look, see, this thing, you can't, when you want someone to change, it's only God that can change a person. You get, you can't change somebody by force. Human being has gone beyond that level. You can't, people will just say yes, sir, yes, sir, and they will do what is in their heart. You get? So, it's very tough, but you see, that's the discipline that a parent with a child that is not doing what they want has to go through. You have to learn how to, you say, oh, yeah, Jesus, I've put this thing in your hand. And the way we do that is via prayer. You get? So the shouting will reduce, the prayer will increase. You get? And after the person will do nonsense, you will say, after the person will do nonsense, you will say, my amazing daughter. You get? When the person is doing nonsense, but you'll be speaking positive words. You get? Some of you know that I'm speaking positive. I know you are doing nonsense in your house. I know. You understand? But it's to be speaking, because negative work can definitely not change you. You get my point? So my only hope is positive word and prayer. Positive word and prayer. We keep on preaching the gospel. Somebody that is rejecting the Holy Spirit, is a human being that wants to change them? You get my point? Right? Huh? So you have to be, I'm still teaching you this, the way of the cross. So, yeah, you have to, because the cross is not your, let me just understand this thing. Even if I don't mention the cross, I'm teaching it. You get? So you have to be comfortable with situations that are outside your control. Are we together? I don't know this thing. People just teach nonsense. When people don't walk with God, it's not all of you here. It's not, you will not be the one to pray and receive from God the school I will enter my jump. It's not the overwhelming majority of you here. They will tell you what to feel. Yes. You get? You don't like it, Abby? I remember the first time, I don't worry, I understand. This is the way of the cross. I remember when I was teaching honoring your parents, someone asked a question that seemingly is logical. I remember he said, what the person asked that question that day? I've forgotten. But the person said, what if you know, I feel led to go to UniBen, for instance, and my parents are saying I should go to UniLag and study law. But me, I want to go to UniBen to study arts and crafts. What should I do that I'll honor my parents? Yeah. Now that thing sounds, is it in your normal canal ear, it sounds, I know the answer everybody has. You know, you should insist what God wants for you is what God wants for you. Abina, that's the answer everybody has. Yes. Huh? And what I said was very simple. I don't know if you remember that day. You will try and convince them. If they say they don't agree by force, you will go and do what they said you should do. It's that simple. Your life will not spoil. You get my point? Eh? Nobody's life can spoil because you are submitted to authority. The right authority, not the wrong authority. You just, your perception is that you want your life to go a particular way, but that's not how God works. You will do the one that is said for you to do. And it will link. The way it will link, nobody knows, but it will always link. You get? It will always link. You understand? The linking of life is very crazy. That's when you understand that God thinks 50 years before you. You understand? That's how life will always be. When you look back at life, you see that maybe the way you met your wife eventually is that your wife wanted to go to one school, something happened, then she just, because of that thing, she now went to school in Lagos. And because she went to school in Lagos, she saw the flyer for church, then she came to church, and then you met her. And then people did. That's always how life is. Yes. The linking is always crazy. You understand? So God knows, God is in charge. God is not, God walks through man's will. Again. So Jesus did not come wanting to say, hey, where's my purpose? What's my this? What's my that? What's my this? What's my that? All he wanted to do, when he went to meet John the Baptist, he said, do it. So that, what did he say? To fulfill all righteousness. You get, even though we abuse that thing, but you know, what he's just trying to say is that this is what the scripture has said, we have to do it this way. Yes, so I'm greater than you. Let's go there. I'm greater than you, yes, but you must baptize me because that's what the scripture said. You understand my point? If Jesus were to say, I'm greater than you, let's this one time, let me baptize you. The plan has ended. The Holy Spirit will not come down. You get my point? So, life is not a creative thing. We're not thinking, you know. It's not like you just sit down and think, you know, what can I do with my life? That's not. There is an agenda. There is a script already written. You will go and get that script and you will act it out. Hallelujah. Anything outside of this, you are in dangerous ground. Telling the truth. Dangerous ground. Yeah. You will live your life like a crazy person. Are we together? So it's that simple. They're very gone past this thing. So it's that simple, right? You will. Let's read it. Maybe it'll be like one of the last things that we do. Go back. Go back. Um, 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. 15. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. So Jesus had sense. And Jesus said, no. We have to do it the right way. You get it. Hallelujah. So Jesus wasn't creative. It's a very powerful point. If you understand it, you'll be delivered. Jesus was not creative. Jesus was not thinking new ideas. If you understand it, you won't waste time. Yeah, many people waste time. You know, many people waste time on 3, 4, 5 business ideas. You know, many people just waste time. You get? Many people waste time. You understand? The point is, what's the script? You do the script. Now, that script has a time element to it. Hallelujah. Huh? That script has a time element to it. With Jesus, for instance, it was 33 and a half years that script ran for. Are we together? After 33 and a half years, it has finished. Then he's ready to go. Are we together? Now, the plan of life is that you are able to do your script in the time that is allocated to you. It's a bit challenging. But that's the plan you get. But I'm not really teaching about that. I'm saying that really because you don't, the basis of life is, have I finished my script? That's what you should be thinking. Are we together? Are you with me? Have I finished my script? It's not, am I old? Do I have children? Am I married? Do you get my point? It's, have I finished my script? You are only ready to go when you have finished your script. Yet, if you go and you've not finished your script, that's a wasted life. Are we together? Are we together? If you finish your script and you stay, you are risking your life. Because if you finish your script, there's no more reason for you to go. It's not about you anymore. You get my point, right? The point is that it is the script. Are we together? It is the script. The script is time-bound. You know, some movies, Avengers is 3 hours, Abi. Some movies, 1 hour, 30 minutes. Some comedy is 30 minutes comedy. Skit, 5 minutes. They all have different time. You get my point, right? So, that time element. It's very important because the script is time-based and if what I mean by the script is time-based is that the portions are based on time. Bible says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Why? Let's go to Ecclesiastes. I'll end with this. Please, give me the announcement. Let me just... say it and go. Or just send it to me. Ecclesiastes. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. See why, you know this thing, ideally I should teach this thing to like 5 p.m. You know, Abby? Yes, you know? But as Pizza could say, God will help us. We'll get there one day. Amen. Yes. Amen. Ecclesiastes now, you don't... Guys, like, I'll put you on assignment. You need to know Bible. I don't know this since. Do you know the books of the Bible from beginning to the end? You don't know, Abi. Okay, let's start. Learn that one first. Huh? Learn it. Next week, I'll ask you. I'm serious. I'll ask you next week to tell us. You know, that's how you know Bible. At least you start with that one. Then you'll be getting better. Don't laugh at him. People are using phone. So don't, he's not worse than you. If I call you there now, you won't perform better. Yes. All right. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about old age. You know, old age, many people don't enjoy old age. Oh, you don't know? Ah, please, no. Many people don't enjoy old age. Now, the reason why they don't enjoy old age is because they did not sow the seeds that will make them enjoy old age. Are we together? You get my point, right? Now, part of the seed you need to sow that will make you even enjoy old age is that there is a remembrance of your Creator in the days of your youth. In the days of youth, people don't usually remember. You know, the human logic is that let me enjoy first. When I'm older, I will not be born again. I mean, now, because people want to enjoy in youth, right? And that's the twisted, you know, God wants you to use your youth for him. Men will use their youth for themselves and think that when I become old, I'll calm down, I'll not be born again. But you see, when you become old, there will be sorrow there if you did not sow the seeds in your youth. You get my point? So the script is time-based. There's something you are meant to be doing in your youth. Are we together? Right? For instance, this time is the best time to serve God. You will not have a better time to serve God. Are we together? You don't have food, convert it to fasting. There's no TV in your house, convert it to meditation. You get my point? There's no time to be, oh, look at me, I wish there's light in my house, there's no fuel, there's no, it gets, there's heat, convert it to prayer. You get my point, right? That's why God is not quickly solving, give your dad money. It's not like God, you see, God can give your dad money. You can. It's just that it's not a rush. You get my point? It's carnality that makes us want to rush things. It's not a rush. You're not disadvantaged that you're coming from a poor family. Who told you that's a disadvantage? That's not a disadvantage. That's actually an advantage. You get? Right? So the script is time-based. If you miss seasons, it won't just have repercussions here. It will have repercussions in eternity. Are we together? You get my point? Huh? All right, we'll continue next week. Have you sent the assignments? Okay. So, let me give the announcements quickly. I think I said it last week that just like now, you're not praying now. When do you think you will pray? When you have money? Huh? Do you think it's when you have money you will pray? If you don't learn how to pray now, you won't get better in the future. You get my point? Right? And it's easier to hear the word of God now. You understand? It's easier. It's easier to respond to the Spirit now. It's not difficult as you get older. As you get older, you begin to think about school fees. You begin to think about, so many things. Praise God. So that's the opportunity. You're going to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Okay? Amen. Amen.